Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 529. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What's up?
Not much tonight, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, doing some catch-up on some Ring of Honor while we record, because it has gotten to that point. I'm not even terribly up-to-date on New Japan, honestly, either. Since AEW and the WWE has taken over my life. And, yeah, I'll tell you what. I know that we're going to mainly talk about the main event of the pay-per-view, but I will say out loud, and I know I've said it on the Twitters at least I'm pretty sure I did. I appreciate the WWE starting at 7 and ending around 10:30 these days. Like, that's one of those few production things that they have actually changed so that they're not completely gonzo bonkers late when they know they have another 3 hours of TV the following night.
Yeah, no. The last three pay-per-views have ended fairly promptly at about 10:30. 3.5 hours. You could argue still a little long, but not as long as some of these pay-per-views are running. So, no, that's fine. I'll accept 3.5 hours as the new normal.
at the end of this particular 3.5 hours was Seth Rollins versus The Fiend. And, you know, whether it's you or Shahid on the show, everyone has been a little confounded about the timing of this feud. And it would seem from the result of the match, which was a DQ in a Hell in a Cell.
Oh my God.
In which case, in the very first Hell in a Cell, we nearly saw Mick Foley get murdered. And there was not a disqualification. You know, a sledgehammer to a toolbox evidently is grounds for a DQ these days.
Yeah. Yeah, what a shit show that turned into. The red lighting to the booking of the overall booking of the match. It was just really, really bad stuff. The Joker's / Harley Quinn mallet getting involved, but that of course not being a disqualification. And then, you know, people did not want Seth Rollins on offense in this match. The people were rooting for the horror villain to kill off the final girl. The final girl being Seth Rollins. Stomp after stomp after stomp, you know, just complete overkill. Best finish, and then
that was another one that I guess I'm a little mystified by. I mean, you just have Braun Strowman take 4 in a pedigree to go down. And I'm fine with that. But then to have the very next opponent a month later, at most, I'm not sure, I wasn't exactly counting weeks between pay-per-views. But the next pay-per-view, the guy kicks out of like roughly 22 of them. At a 1 count? they booked themselves into a corner, and they tried to get out of the corner, and I am unsurprised that the crowd was not having any of it.
Yeah, no, not at all. It was absolutely ridiculous. All the way up to this qualification. At that point in a Hell in a Cell match for the Universal Championship, the referee is begging Seth to show mercy to this monster, and then calls a DQ after the sledgehammer blow. That was just absolutely silly. And then, of course, you know, Bray Wyatt just being able to shake all of that off and put Seth in the mandible claw, and then Sister Abigail, and then the mandible claw again while the crowd is chanting for the match to restart, because obviously the Fiend is okay. And the whole show ends with Seth Rollins on his back, bleeding from the mouth. Yeah, it was really, really bad. And in the end, it was really bad for Seth Rollins.
Yeah, he can't buy a break.
No, he cannot.
I am with the people that say that he has not delivered the material maybe the best. But it's still just another one where they have handed him poo-poo platter after poo-poo platter as champion. And you've just got to be sitting there going, what the fuck do you want me to do here, people? Like, it's nearly impossible to overcome what they're doing to him.
No, he's a bad actor. He's not a good promo, and acting and wrestling promos are two different things. Acting and babyface promos are two different things. Neither of which he's very good at. But you still put him in these situations where, you know, he doesn't look behind him when the Fiend is there, is obviously going to pop up behind him on SmackDown. He's looking to the left. He's looking to the right. Looking forward, never looks behind him. Just, you know, stupid stuff like that. You know, screaming in fear instead of just showing it in his eyes. You know, like Brock did on Friday when Kane Velasquez showed up. I mean, Brock didn't scream like a girl. when Kane Velasquez showed up, he just showed it in his eyes. And that's all Seth had to do. Once again, I don't know how he's being produced or if he's, you know, if this is what his instincts are telling him to do, someone needs to tell him to stop. He's pretty good. They can't keep him out of the arenas and away from the people for forever. He's still the Universal Champion. who promised he'd be at. He was going to liberate the championship from Brock Lesnar and be a champion who shows up every week.
Yeah, and your note there is about Raw, which I guess it hadn't dawned on me. For some reason, I thought that Rollins was on for a promo of some sort, but he was, well, him and... Was the Fiend completely absent, or did they have the Funhouse?
No, the Fiend was pretty absent. There's somehow in all of that. Well, Bray Wyatt might have a minor injury, but in the end, because they didn't even throw to a video package till about 45 minutes into the show. I mean, 2 hours and 45 minutes into the show. I mean. Or two and a half, or what have you, and then that was it. I mean, they felt like that they had to at least talk about it a little bit, but they did not make a big deal about it at all throughout the entire episode of Raw.
Oh,
yeah, they want this. It feels like this is something they want forgotten about, and the best way for it to be forgotten about is these two have to be on separate shows and never be in the same room again.
Well, I mean, I guess they can be in the same room again if you're going to have Rollins lose the title. But that's about the only thing that that should be going on in that situation.
And yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that... like, I'm trying to remember... I know that the crowds are definitely more likely to shit on a segment these days. But I don't feel like I've heard one this bad in a long time. Like, Elias getting booed out of Seattle was like, that's a whole different thing. You know, like, that was kind of a deserved boo, an earned boo, if you will. But this was earned in a whole, yeah, this was meant in a whole different way, you know, with the crowd chanting refund in AEW.
It was, no, it's very bad. I mean, they just they absolutely shit on their paying customers. There's no really no other way to say it. Yeah, I mean, people have a right to be upset about getting that as a finish. And in the end, they're gonna take that, they're gonna take that out on it on Seth Rollins.
Oh.
I don't believe there's a way to save Seth Rollins as a babyface champion. Not after that.
Oh no. Yeah, they and again, they did it to themselves by booking this feud right away. The Fiend has had one match and in a lot of ways did not deserve a title opportunity. But for some reason they went with it. And hell, they even started hinting about it, and I mean, I know that you and I talked about it before the Braun Strowman defense. Like, they were really hot to get this off, which is why it's really like it, to me, it makes it even stranger that they didn't just have the Fiend win the belt. Like, did they have buyer's remorse on him? Like they really seem to want to go all in with him. Like they really, I am so mystified with how this happened.
If they wanted to keep Seth as anything resembling a strong champion, then they shouldn't have booked this match at all. I mean, Bray Wyatt has only won one match over Finn Balor at SummerSlam, which is nearly 2 months ago. And then they throw him in this title match, which at that point you're going to do the match. Probably should win it at that point, but then they don't do that. Seth is weaker than ever. I mean, they really haven't hurt the Fiend much at all, other than
Oh.
it was always going to, once again, the question we had from day one when they started the Funhouse gimmick and then introduced the Fiend part is, how is this going to translate into the ring? And I don't know if the second match and everything that was wrong about doing a Hell in a Cell match for the Universal Championship in the main event of a pay-per-view as part of the Fiend's second match, Bray's second match in the Fiend gimmick. I don't know if we can completely, make a decision whether or not the gimmick works in the ring. But it didn't. But it didn't. It didn't on that. It didn't. Oh, it didn't the other night, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I still think he wrestles fine. But it really did not help that the ladies put on a hell of a Hell in a Cell match. To start the show off. And just by comparison, things were not helped out at all, that's for sure. Yeah, I kind of like the way that they've already set up Wyatt interacting with Seth Rollins, but it is one of those things that it does feel like it's going to be pretty limiting. You know, like I don't know if everyone has to interact with him in the funhouse, it's going to get a little bit weird, especially as Champ. Which, if they had... They hadn't really even fleshed it out with him on TV yet.
Right. They really haven't. He'd only had one match with the Fiend gimmick, and then he started talking. Making overtures towards, going after the Universal Championship, and at the time it was either Seth Rollins or Braun Strowman, whoever won a Clash of Champions. Then he just, got over on Seth on at every occasion, made Seth look weak, made Seth look dumb, and then in the actual match itself, Seth's offense is made to look completely ineffectual. He has to go to extreme lengths to get himself disqualified, and then in a Hell in a Cell match. And then the Fiend gets up and kicks his ass anyway. Look at it. The Fiend is not is not the character here who's going to have the most problems. But once again, it's trying to flesh out, how to make this all work as a wrestling gimmick in the ring. It probably needed quite a bit more work before. Going for a major championship in the main event of a pay per view. There really, other than there's a I guess you could argue that there's a lack of heel challengers for Seth, and they needed to have something that was strong enough to go in the cell. And which is the problem with, hey, it's October, it's time to put two matches per pay per view. In the cell.
Yeah, and you don't need to put two in the cell. Like, I know that they seem to do that now, but I guess I wouldn't have been upset if there was just one. And I think we've talked about it a little bit, but it really is one of those things that the WWE is serving so many masters at this point. I think that things just get lost track of. They're worrying about the brand split coming up. They're worried about a pay-per-view. They're already setting up stuff for... I know it's not Casino Royale, because I know that that's a James Bond movie. But, Crown Jewel.
Yeah. Yeah, they already started... And once again, Seth is going to be the team captain of Team Hogan.
Yeah. Again, yeah, not doing Seth any favors.
A nothing role for the Universal Champion to be in. So there's not even going to be a Universal Championship match on that show. Although that show's looking like it's going to be one hell of an acid trip. we'll get into some of their stuff later. As I said, it looks like they've got to get Seth and the Fiend on different shows, and I imagine Seth is staying on Raw as the Universal Champion. There's no need to have, unless they just want to blow up everything, which who knows, maybe they do. I imagine Seth stays on Raw so that Seth can be the number one babyface on Raw, and whether he's champion or not, Roman Reigns could be the number one babyface on SmackDown.
Yeah, they can leave Seth on the smaller show now.
Yes, that's exactly. That's going to be another problem. And then you can move, I would guess that if there's a battle going on for the Fiend, considered the hottest act in WWE currently, I would imagine Fox is going to end up winning that battle, especially now. And so, yeah, the Fiend will. There's a very good chance the Fiend's going to end up on SmackDown. And once again, the Fiend can and the Firefly Funhouse can move on from this. I would try to move on from this and not have that gimmick in the title hunt for a pretty long period of time.
Yeah, like you said, like, just figure out the mechanics of how a feud's gonna work with him. Like, they just really haven't done that. Like, they had a little bit with Finn, but not much.
Yeah, I mean, Finn was someone that they could just have the Fiend beat. I mean, Finn got a little bit of offense in, but not much. The match wasn't very long. And in the end, you know, the Fiend won emphatically. But with Seth, they had to just have Seth, you know, get a lot of offense in, but then have his offense be completely ineffectual. Just move the Fiend over to SmackDown. Do your Firefly Funhouse skits and Hocus Pocus tricks. He can be in feuds. He still shouldn't lose for quite a while until they want him to move him into a money feud. Yeah.
Oh.
That's what they should have been doing. This, you know, this whole thing was a mistake. And now Raw is going to be left. We don't know exactly what how this draft is going to go. The belief is SmackDown is going to be the A show, and Raw is going to become a 3-hour B show. Oh my God! With a weak babyface champion on top. And we'll see what rogues gallery of heels they have in mind for him, at least. But yeah, you're gonna have Raw. I think is gonna have some problems as time goes on, depending on how this draft goes. And then SmackDown, you know, only 2 hours. It'll be treated as more important. But they're going to have the problem that Raw's had over the years. The champion is going to barely be around. Although it does feel like Brock is advertised for more shows. I know I've been seeing local commercials for SmackDown coming to Detroit at Little Caesars Arena at the end of December for the last SmackDown of the year, and Brock is advertised on that show, which is interesting because they usually don't put Brock on, those Christmas week shows. They save him for, you know, the beginning of January to, you know, start pushing Royal Rumble season. So, you know, maybe Brock's going to be around more, but then that just makes SmackDown even more of an A show if that's the show Brock's going to show up every couple of weeks for.
I was gonna say that's still not gonna be a weekly thing. I really doubt that they're gonna talk him into that, even for a lot of money.
Right.
And I was trying to think of where I wanted to go because we've definitely more than exhausted poor Seth Rollins and the Fiend. Yeah, I do think that, to me, you really nail down the one that's the show that's more important by where the draft starts. It always used to be, I feel like they've always started the draft on Raw. And this time around, it's starting on Fox.
Yeah.
And,
And I'm not sure exactly if we have anyone else what the format is going to be yet. In the past, when there was a draft, there was a draft order, one draft, then the next one drafts, the next one drafts, and then the next one gets the draft, you know, twice, you know, back, like,
like a snake.
Professional sports graph, as opposed to the Superstar Shakeup, which is just a series of essentially a series of trades that have no rhyme or reason to them. So, and I'm not sure how you stretch that out over, although the first way, I'm not sure exactly how you stretch that out over two episodes. If you do all of the early rounds on SmackDown, that, you know, pretty much, you know, moves all the top and top of the middle people over already. So the Raw part of the draft is just going to be the lower mid card and the bottom.
Well, I always feel like not all the big names. They've always done a good job of not moving the big names all on one show. But I always feel like, just like, oh, we have both the U.S. and the IC champions. It's going to be so great here on Insert Show here. And then, you know, the next show pops up and it's just like, oh, look what happened. The IC champion got moved over to the other brand. So, to me, like, whatever, I always feel like there's going to be a corresponding move a lot of the times.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's as like the top guys are just going to go on Fox. I feel like they'll probably split it between talent tiers like they normally do, but you'll kind of see what's in the works for Monday, which is going to be kind of weird since it's 4 days. Like, that was the only useful thing recently about SmackDown and Raw being back-to-back days, is that when you hold a draft one day and then there's a response the next, there's a little less lag time between things, obviously, and it, to me, makes a little more sense, just because that's how actual drafts work.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, and I, this is definitely something we've covered, too. Like, I'm kind of lost on who's on what show at this point. Like, I know that they've kind of made mention of it, and I was even laughing during Raw here last night that they were talking about the announced teams possibly being mixed up after this week, and I'm just like, you guys just got on TV. It would be the dumbest thing if there happened to be a trade with the announcers. I really hope they don't pull any shenanigans like that, because it's not worth anyone's time, and they just should have put the announced teams together. But I will be interested to see who, you know, I guess who ends up where. And, you know, it's always kind of good to me to have the hard, like, I guess I kind of understood the idea of the wild card, but four people a week is a lot of people. You know, when you really just wanted Roman Reigns on each show every week, four people is a little much. It really blurs the line a lot. Especially when people that had moved brands were on multiple segments on the other brand. Like, it really made them feel like they were part of the brand and not, like, just a novelty for the night. But I'll enjoy that coming back, and then hopefully we will enjoy, you know, rosters that are actually split again. Or were you more of a proponent of always just mixing the rosters?
I mean, there's a way to mix the roster, so one wrestler isn't on both shows during the week, but they still kind of switch off. There'd be a way to do it like that, but that takes way more thought than this creative team has shown the ability to do, and So I guess just a draft that they play, you know, a brand split that they just hold hard to is probably the answer then. But they really have to be disciplined with it. And although no one's going to believe that they're going to be disciplined with it.
Oh.
until they've been disciplined with it for, you know, a year or two.
Yeah, I mean, it will be interesting with them being on separate networks, to see if that holds a little bit more. I would think that it would in some ways, but I also expect there to be an annual draft or some type of shakeup as things move along. Just because, and I guess that's why I always liked the kind of hard split, is that you do keep people away from each other, and it's nice to get some fresh matchups. But it's kind of hard, at least right now, just because things have kind of been intermixed so much. Because when did they start doing it? Has it been, when did they introduce the wild card? Was it before WrestleMania or after WrestleMania? Do you remember?
Right, like the week after WrestleMania.
Oh, okay. So we've gotten a solid, you know, half a year out of it. I think it's sufficiently blurred the line to me that, although I do feel like they've tried to keep it SmackDown on SmackDown or Raw. No, not really. Never mind. Because I was going to say, I feel like, because how many champions became champion when they were from the other brand? Because I guess I started thinking about the tag champions. And was Bayley not on SmackDown originally when she won the SmackDown title?
Nope, Bayley was on SmackDown.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea what brand the Revival is supposed to be on. They've been Raw and SmackDown champions multiple times in the last 6 months.
I think technically they're supposed to be Raw, but they've won the SmackDown title, so that was...
That sounds right, yeah.
That was one that I kind of remember, and I felt like there were a couple other examples, and they're just not coming to my head then. So, yeah, I guess I look forward to a hard split, but I have, like, no expectations for who's going to be where as we speak right now. Like you said, like, I do think that Reigns is going to stay on SmackDown. I mean, there was already the rumor out that Fox wanted Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. I can see that. Obviously, Brock's on SmackDown to stay. You know, They plan his dates out, you know, pretty well, and then, as we said, I've mentioned, all the way up until the beginning, the end of the year, they've got Brock advertised for SmackDown dates, so, you know, they're going to hold to that one. The interesting one is probably the most interesting thing is with the women, because Becky Lynch has been so upfront with the SmackDown advertising, and, you know, she was the focal point of the skit opening of the SmackDown pre-show, where they even had her with Michael Strahan and Terry Bradshaw, and you know she is, you know, front and center in all the marketing. Yet she's still the Raw Women's Champion. So what the hell are they gonna do with that?
I got no idea. I guess on that front, I guess they could move both champions, but how do you, you know, do you just call the belts the opposite thing then? If Charlotte ends up on...
literally just have them traded separate different shows and just trade belts? Because they're equal anyway? I don't know. Once again, what happens with the women is going to be interesting, because right now, well, I mean, obviously, the Four Horsewomen have been all over, at, you know, every show for, you know, since Sasha returned, and Bayley turned heel with her. But that feels like it's, you know, kind of, you know, already, done. I mean, Becky beat Sasha, clean in the middle in Hell in a Cell, and then Charlotte won her 10th women's championship from Bayley. Yeah, so it'll be interesting, where they all end up, and if Becky and Charlotte end up on the same show, a different show, same thing with Bayley and Sasha. They let Natalya get 2 wins in a row over Lacey Evans, so which is weird because you'd think that you want. Another heel in the women in one of the women's divisions to be established, but it doesn't appear to be what they wanted to do with that.
The women have been a little mystifying to me in the fact that, as much as I kind of understand having your 2 strongest women be your champions going into this brand split. It's one of those things that we kind of talked about it with the guys a lot. Bayley and Sasha, at some point, if you're going to keep them up in that stratosphere with Becky and Charlotte, they need a big win over them at some point.
True. No, they absolutely do. But once again, Becky and Charlotte are a plane above everyone else, and it's becoming a hard thing to break through for the other women. It was interesting that they've had Becky and Charlotte team up and face the Kabuki Warriors, and Kabuki Warriors got that win. Becky actually, rarely, very, very rarely gets pinned on television. So it maybe it was supposed to mean something as far as Asuka and Kairi Sane are concerned. But they're also the women's tag team champions, and obviously they still want Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross in that chase. Are the WWE Women's Champions, because it's still going to be the only people, the only 2 wrestlers who are allowed to cross brands, or that's another good question that I don't know the answer to.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions currently, and not a whole lot of answers.
I mean, I've always thought, dating back, at least to when they reintroduced the brand split concept a few years back, that all the women should be on one show and all the tag teams should be on one show, because there's not enough of either to split them in half and have effective divisions for very long.
Oh, yeah, I mean. And it's another common topic on here. They don't do a very good job of developing depth. Like you kind of said, like, I was shocked. I did not see Natalya versus Lacey on the pre-show. But I still can't believe that I'm watching on Raw and I'm like, oh, Natalya won? Like, really? Is one of those things that she loses so frequently, I was kind of shocked that Lacey Evans wasn't going over. And, they just, in general, they have enough people there to have depth, but they fail to exploit it more times than not. And I guess it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, use it. Like, there's a reason you have, like, 9 million talents signed to contracts, people. Like, it isn't for them to sit on the bench, but here we are. Them sitting on the bench most of the time. Because, did Ember Moon get re-hurt? Or does she just find her way off TV again?
I have no idea.
You know, I think they have enough women for divisions on each brand, but the way you're thinking of it, I see a benefit to that. You know, just keeping them separated. But then I would imagine that one network or the other would kind of have a problem with that too.
Yes, it's
at least with the ladies,
the women, because the women have, you know, whether they're being treated like serious wrestlers or they're just eye candy or cheesecake. You know, the women have been part of WWE's branding, you know, for, you know, 20 years. You know, I think each show wants the top pushed women, at least, you know, half on one and half on the other. So yeah, no. I mean, I ideally for a division where you can have fresh matchups, you know, all the time and not redo the same matches over and over again. You want bigger divisions on both shows. And who knows, maybe that will also come. You know, at least growing the divisions, get the divisions on each show.
They, like I said, they've done such a poor. The WWE has done such a poor job of doing that. It's hard to take that idea seriously. Like if Triple H were in charge, I might think that there is a possibility that it would happen. But who knows? Well, I mean, even with that, who knows? And I guess I'm trying to think of, because there just wasn't anything. The biggest, I guess the next biggest thing is Tyson Fury being on WWE TV.
Yes, that is the next biggest thing. They do the angle with Tyson Fury and Braun Strowman on Raw. I mean on SmackDown. You know, a pull apart, and then they advertise Tyson Fury as appearing on Raw from there. They do what they do with it. They have them and end up in a pull apart, multiple pull aparts. Fury throws through some, you know, pull punches that the guys went down for, but man, did they not look good.
Well, yeah,
and if we're gonna do this match in Saudi, they're gonna do this match in Saudi Arabia in 3 weeks, and he can't even pull his punches. This is gonna be interesting.
Well, it's gonna be a match that I'm not gonna watch, so I suppose I don't really care.
Come on now.
I think I sat through the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Gotcha.
But I think that's honestly the only one in Saudi Arabia that I've watched. Because I think I remember seeing the Titus O'Neil thing live.
Right.
I could be wrong on which one I watched, but yeah, the timing of it is usually just bad, since it's usually a Friday afternoon, and usually, shock of all shocks, I'm working. And also the matches that they've kind of had on these shows, I know that someone's paying to see them, but they're matches that I don't want to even watch for free. Like, yeah, the whole team thing, I don't really care. And I think we talked last week about my feelings on this sick people who actually want to see Ric Flair and or Hulk Hogan wrestle again. It's not necessary at all in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, like and Tyson Fury against Braun Strowman, it makes a lot of sense. If you can get the matchup and you can get some extra publicity from having boxing's heavyweight champion on your show, God bless, but it also doesn't mean that I need to give a shit. And I would think that Fox did a great job of advertising the links between wrestling and sports in general. And I guess I wouldn't be surprised to see the WWE try to exploit that a little more going forward. And, this is just one example. It's again, it's a good way to go, but I guess I just don't really care. And yeah, I guess when you punch someone for real and your life kind of depends on it, it would be pretty awkward to have to pull your punches. I'm gonna throw that out there.
Right. No, I totally get it, but they're not going to have very long to prep them for whatever they want to do here, especially if it's a singles match. So.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be leaning towards a singles match, unless his wife is going to join him for a mixed tag match, which we don't need to see either.
No, we don't need to see that. No. Yeah, so now, I mean, yeah, I guess they'll get through a singles match, just like they're gonna get through a singles match with Brock Lesnar and Cain Velasquez. Most likely also at Crown Jewel.
Yeah, that was definitely one that we speculated about last week at this time. Our thoughts were confirmed Sunday evening, or no, Friday night after oh yeah, 'cause that did take place the whole way back on SmackDown. So, Brock Lesnar beats Kofi Kingston in short order, which I saw Lance Storm posting about people shouldn't be bummed about people losing in short order, and I also saw Daniel Bryan saying, "Hey, I launched a whole thing because I lost in 18 seconds." And yeah, the fans kind of really took over for that one. And I'm not quite sure that they're going to get as much backlash for Kofi. But I was bummed to see that happen. The short amount of time, that it was just an F5 and that was it. I didn't really expect a long match, but I also didn't want to see him get starched like that. So that was a little bit of a bummer, but then we get good old Cain Velasquez, who evidently is Dominic's godson.
Godfather, you mean?
Oh, Godfather. Oh, that was pretty terrible. Godfather, yes. That would be the correct word. And yeah, it'll be pretty interesting. I mean, what'd you say? He had two or three matches down in AAA?
Yes, it's been two so far. So he's trained. He's surprisingly adept at lucha, but that's not the version of Cain Velasquez that they're gonna want here. They're gonna want they're gonna want a UFC style match in the middle of a WWE ring, and I guess even with a bum wheel, Kane should be able to do that. It's an odd situation with them bringing him in when he apparently needs knee surgery very soon.
Yeah, I was gonna say he looked pretty limited even for having a knee brace on. So I can't say I'm surprised that that he needs surgery. And yeah, I guess to me that leads to one of my earlier points: the WWE is serving too many masters. Like, I guess I'm cool with this all taking place, but it would make way more sense, especially if you're going to keep Velasquez around for any amount of time, to do it when he's healthy and not when he's injured.
Right.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Velasquez isn't going to win the championship, I wouldn't think.
Right.
That would be pretty awkward.
I would even argue against it being a title match, or at least Velasquez could win a non-title match. They could set up a title match late down the line, even at WrestleMania. That's where they want to go with it. But no, either Brock should win, or it's a non-title match, because God knows they can't have another pay-per-view. Even in Saudi Arabia, they can't have another pay-per-view main event and a disqualification or a countout. You don't want that crowd getting unruly.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have quite the same reaction that was at Sacramento.
Yeah, Sacramento.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna get an AEW chant over there in Saudi Arabia. I guess Saudi Arabian crowd, please prove me wrong, and I'm sure I'll see a tweet about it. I'm trying to think of what else. I mean, is it worth talking about the Viking Raiders oddly challenging for a brand specific belt when all that stuff is up in the air?
Not really. I mean, obviously they still need to have a card for Raw, which again, it's a weird reason way that they're doing this, or why would Raw even have a card at all?
this show was very, this Monday's Raw was very lame ducky, which is why it was way easy to talk about stuff that did not take place on Raw. Because, Apollo Crews and Ricochet, while in theory should be a great match, in execution, especially because they only had maybe about 5 minutes, it was just okay. But they also continue to... Not that I expected Apollo Crews to win, but he's another guy that at some point I'd like to see them actually get behind him. Like, it's always weird when they have these guys on TV somewhat consistently, but they don't ever actually push them. It's just like you have enough faith in them to be on TV, but you don't have enough faith in them to do anything meaningful. And it just makes me scratch my head.
Right.
And I guess I'm kind of looking at the rest of Raw here, and I don't feel like there is anything else to cover, really. I mean, there's Aleister Black, but, whew, man, I think he ranks lower on the list than, the tag team titles.
I have not gotten what they're doing with him since they started it. It's silly. He's beaten no one of consequence. Why would anyone want to pick a fight with him? Why doesn't he just make his intentions known? Why doesn't he at least go after the Intercontinental Championship or the United States Championship? What show is he supposed to be on? I don't know. I honestly don't care much for him right now. It's very dumb to me. It's been dumb since they started it. He's a talented guy. he delivers the words he's that have been written for him well enough, I guess, but it's just that it's just empty, hollow verbiage. It leads to matches that mean nothing. Hopefully, in the hopefully after the draft, they give him something more to do and send him on a path because he is a talented enough guy.
Yeah, agreed. Like I thought he did really great on NXT, and I still think he can do that. But I guess that kind of leads me to one interesting thing. Have they said anything about the fact that NXT is involved in the draft?
No, it's not.
Okay. I guess I didn't feel like I had heard one way or the other, but there is a 100% chance that I was not paying attention to what Vic Joseph was saying on Monday, or I fast-forwarded through the segment.
It's just a Raw SmackDown draft. NXT gets to be its own thing for a while, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, that's kind of a good deal, and it does kind of set some extra ground rules, because that's one of those things, just like, would Black be a candidate to move back over to NXT? Because Vince McMahon definitely sees the value, at least a little bit, in Ricochet.
Right, and...
Yeah.
On Raw, are we ever going to get any reason for the Street Profits to actually be there? Are they actually going to go look for any smoke on Raw? Because I hate them on Raw. I love them on NXT, but I hate them on Raw.
I started off kind of liking the thing, and now I'm just like, ooh, really? They're just gonna do a recap / preview, huh? And they're not always terribly funny. Like, I think that they're funny guys, but the segments that they're written into on Raw are not funny. Yeah.
On Raw.
On Raw.
On NXT, they're very good. Although, now that they've lost to the Undisputed Era twice, I don't know what to do with them on NXT either, so hopefully that they figure something out for them.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, I marvel at Montez Ford's athleticism, and I would like to do so on a regular basis. I guess I don't care which brand they're on, but I do agree with you. Like, there is definitely not enough tag team depth in NXT for them to really stick around currently.
Right. I don't know what to say about the NXT tag team division right now, actually. there's not enough depth for them to stick around, but there's not enough depth for them to leave either. Because then who is Undisputed Era going to face?
I don't know. I don't know who now that you say that, like, I guess I can't think of any tag team that's in NXT aside from those two. Because I know it's not MI5, because I know that that's also another James Bond thing. Was it M51?
TM61, you mean?
TM61, sure.
They fired one of them like six months ago. Shane Thorne's been on his own.
I guess that's what I was gonna lead to, but I just remembered memory was trash and I couldn't remember what.
I mean, you've got
initials they had.
Walter and his crew, but the Imperium, but they're heels. Forgotten Sons are heels. I don't know who you put O'Reilly and Fish against anymore.
Well, I mean, they do get enough cheers to be the baby faces, but they do in general do a great job of maintaining their heelhood by what they're actually doing in the ring. So there is at least that, but yeah, I didn't even think about that. Like, there are a couple of teams, but they're all heels. I can't think it. Yeah, well, in TM60, shit, whatever. They were heels too, I guess is going to be my point. The WWE, again, they seem to have a baby face problem. They do not seem to know how to book a baby face to save their lives, whether it's in tag team formation or singles formation. So, yeah, yeah, Street Profits be somewhere so that I can watch you wrestle. I guess that's what I'll stop with. anything else to cover before we mosey on out of here?
Absolutely not. Take us home, Kevin.
Okay. This well, it was a weekend ago that I went to a couple of anniversary parties. One was to Land Grant Brewing, and I happened to pick up a couple of their beers while I was at the grocery store after said event. This one was more for my father-in-law because he is one of those guys that he really kind of wants a Bud Light no matter what. So I've just started buying him all of the Bud Light style beers that the craft breweries pull out. And Land Grant has one of their own. It's called Pool Party Pilsner. Yeah, it's just okay. Like, I guess I'm still just not terribly a fan of this style of beer. It's definitely a thing and people like it. I have lost my taste for it because there isn't terribly much taste in it, in my humble opinion. So this is not really a slight on Land Grant itself. It's more of a slight on the style and my dislike of it. So that is the bell time beer of the show. I'm at Defrag 11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
Later.